Today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ, in his act of love in dying for us, set us free from negative fear, or the fear that would hold us bound up and tormented. A person living this life being fearful of death. Now, frankly, let's be honest, as a Christian, I don't want to feel the pain of death. That brings me some level of fear. I don't want to feel suffering. Are you with me? Aren't we all? What am I asking you for? We're all like this. I don't want to hurt. I'm an American. Give me an Advil. I don't want to suffer a thing. We're a society we don't fear. We don't want to feel pain that we fear. It's not a good thing. We don't like that. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ, concerning sin and death, the power of the grave, went and took care of that situation for us, that in this life we need not fear the grave.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues leading us through the Gospel of John. We're in a series of studies that focus on chapter 19 and verses 25 through 42. These are the events in and around the time of the Messiah's death, an event that was such a significant turning point in history. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study simply called The Death of Jesus Christ.
It's an actual historical fact that Jesus Christ died. And that same fact of his death is just as qualified as the fact of his resurrection. The death of Jesus Christ, yeah, you guys, it's the greatest thing you could ever hear, because out of his death came life, eternal life. This is a great time of the year. You can go to Lowe's or Home Depot right now and buy a bag of bulbs. Gladiola, ranunculus, I love those. Ranunculus are radically awesome. Tulip, on and on it goes, bulbs. The funny thing is, you got to take a bulb out of the bag and look at that thing. It looks like sin. It's horrible looking. A bulb looks terrible. It looks dead. But you know what? It's not dead. That's why they plant them, or they keep them wrapped in dirt. This certain kind of packing material, I should say. Then when you take the bulb out, what do? You put it into a pot, or you put it into the soil outside, and what happens? It dies. No, it doesn't grow. It dies. It dies. Did you know that? It dies. It has to die before it grows. You put a bulb into the ground, it dies. And the moment it dies, it shoots out a little microscopic. You can't even see it. It shoots out a little vein or artery of life. Out of death comes life. Out of that really ugly looking bulb comes a great and glorious bloom. You know, that's a type and that's a picture of this life of ours. We walk, the Bible says, without Christ, we walk in this world sin-filled and dead toward God. But Jesus Christ comes, as we'll see in a moment, lives a perfect life because he's God in human flesh, says the Bible, dies on the cross in our place, and what does he do for us? He purchases us eternal life through his death. And having done that, he now, having been risen from the dead on Sunday, resurrection morning, the Bible says he lives forevermore, and we who believe in him will live also. What a great hope we have in Jesus. In our study last time together, by way of review, verses 25 to 27, we studied this wonderful thing concerning the death of Jesus, what comes out of it. Number one, God's supreme act of love. The Bible says in John 3:17, listen, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that a great verse? Now I know, and in some ways it should be somewhat true, and that is when we think about God and eternity and Jesus on the cross, the tomb, him being risen from the dead, the Bible, death. life after death, there is a fear. Some of that fear is good, some of it's not good. We ought to fear God, and the word to fear God in the Bible is to revere Him or to hold Him in reverence and in awe. You ever stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon and you fear it? That's a good thing. That's a good kind of fear. It's like, wow! That's awe. Well, to have that kind of awe toward God is a good thing. You may stand at the empty tomb in Jerusalem and stand in awe, or the word is fear of God. Well, that's good. But Jesus Christ, in His act of love in dying for us, set us free from negative fear, or the fear that would hold us bound up and tormented. A person living this life being fearful of death. Now, frankly, let's be honest, as a Christian, I don't want to feel the pain of death. That brings me some level of fear. I don't want to feel suffering. Are you with me? Aren't we all? What am I asking you for? We're all like this. I don't want to hurt. I'm an American. Give me an Advil. I don't want to suffer a thing. We're a society we don't fear. We don't want to feel pain that we fear. It's not a good thing. We don't like that. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ, concerning sin and death, the power of the grave, went and took care of that situation for us, that in this life we need not fear the grave. You say, well, Jack, you know, I don't know. Are you sure about that? I'm sure about it. I'm so sure about it. How sure can I be? There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. And Jesus said in advance, hey, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'll be back. I'll be back. And He was. And He changed the world. And He's still changing the world. We saw that God's supreme act of love is that Jesus Christ came to die for us. We saw that manifested in three ways. Number one, He changes lives. We saw that with the four women standing at the foot of the cross. Remember, they stood there when all of the great spiritual apostles left and ran for fear. The four women stood there at the foot of Jesus Christ. How could they do that? In the presence of such fear, opposition, and the power of Rome. To be associated with this apparent criminal, for Jesus was crucified between two thieves and in fact was convicted of a capital offense, being that He claimed to be the Son of God, which was illegal unless you're the Son of God. And for that, the Bible tells us that the religious Jews killed Him. The religious hierarchy of the Jewish nation killed Him. But that, even that, was in accordance with God's perfect plan. Jesus Christ changes lives. Number two, we saw that the example of His love is that His heart, that is God's heart, to all those who receive Christ, His heart becomes our hearts. How so? Because when you give your life to Christ, an amazing thing happens. I made mention of it earlier. I was with these mountain men in Lake Tahoe. And it's so great to see these guys come walking in. They got their Bibles. Worship's going up. And these big guys, they got a tear going down their cheek. Songs being, and I tell you, I was blessed. I was moved. Tony Logan was leading the worship up there. If any of you know Tony Logan, what a precious man of God. And he's leading in worship. And there's an anointing on that man. And we're singing. And these big men, they got their hands up and they're just kind of weeping before the Lord. How does that happen? Jesus Christ changes lives. There's no explanation. And to hear their stories on how they came to Jesus, it's like, God, you're too much. And what He does when He changes lives is He begins to work in a man or in a woman's heart. And we saw that lived out when Jesus said to John, John, behold Mary, or the woman, He said. And then He said to Mary, woman, behold thy son, John. And we know from history that John took Mary. The apostle took Mary, and even in Ephesus, Turkey today, there are tombs there of Mary and of John. And what I love about that is, what does the Bible say concerning John? We know that he lived a very long life. We know that he's the only apostle that died in old age. He died of natural causes. He died in Ephesus. And why, I don't know, I don't know the answer to this exactly, but why did John have the privilege of living so long and not dying the death of a martyr? Could it be that Jesus here said, as it's recorded, John, take care of Mary. Mary, go with John. Beautiful. John's heart was concerned with the things of the heart of God. When someone has been converted, they care about the things that God cares about. Our minds are changed. You know, before we came to Jesus, what did we care about? Me. Who did we care about? Me. I lived for me. Me, myself, and I. It's who I lived for. Then Jesus Christ moves into your life, and you begin to care about others. It's an awesome thing. The third thing we saw under that first point was God's example of love is that His love is lived out. His love is lived out in our lives. Verse 27 says, from that hour, the disciple John took her to his own home. And then we came to the second point, verses 28 to 30. The death of Jesus Christ speaks this to us, that it was God's perfect and complete plan. Listen up, everybody. Jesus was not murdered. He laid down his life. I thought he was crucified. He laid down on the wood. The Bible says, Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know that I could call legions of angels to rescue me? You know what that meant? It's in the word in the Greek, kenosis. It means that Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, took upon him the form of a human, of a man, mankind. And he set aside, kenosis, he set aside quite a few of his divine powers. He could have picked them up at any moment. Example, Peter, don't you know I could call angels? He could have. In a moment, had been rescued. Did he? No. Remember when his attackers came by, stuck out their tongue, the Bible says, and wagged their heads, which is a very nasty thing to do in Israel. You don't stick out your tongue and wag your head. You get slapped. They stuck out their tongue and they wagged their head at Jesus and they said, He saved others himself. He cannot save. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Did he come down from the cross, anybody? No. Could he have? Yep. In fact, he could have said, all right, I am, and you're not. People would have vanished away in an instant. He could have done that. He didn't do that. The fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ lived out the perfect plan of God the Father, and the cross was the central point of that great plan. The Bible tells us in verse 28 that Jesus had perfect knowledge of all that was going on. Perfect knowledge. And thus you read the four Gospels, and you read the seven statements of Jesus Christ from the cross. In absolute control. For example, one of them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In a moment, we'll see, he cries out, it's finished. He says to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cries out, I thirst. He cries out, into thy hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. Jesus was in total control. Awesome, isn't it? God on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. That's our second consideration, perfect knowledge Jesus had. We learned in verses 28 to 29, he died in our place, and in verse 30, he completed the work. When he cried out on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. We learned last time that that word means that it is completed. The task was achieved in absolute totality. There's nothing more to add. And we can also get the word rest. When Jesus says it's finished, put this in your mind. He's on the cross, and the Bible says he cried out with a loud voice, meaning, listen, he had to push up on the spike that was in his feet. He had to push up and fill his lungs with air and yell with a loud voice, it's finished. And then we know from another gospel, as John, the scripture says that he dismissed his spirit. Frankly, when he was all done paying the price for our sins, he said, I'm done. It's finished. With all due respect, and I mean this with the highest honor, I'm out of here. There's no reason for me to hang around anymore. I'm done. I've paid the price in full. Isn't that awesome? Now listen, that's important to us who are Christians, because you know what? That sets me free immediately. It sets me free from this thing that we talked about last time of a works-centered relationship with God. It sets us free. It doesn't matter how good you are anymore according to the Bible. It says that by the works of the law shall no one be justified in the sight of God. Well, wait a minute. What about my tithing, my church attendance? What about helping the poor? What about, my friend, these are things that should happen because you know God has nothing to do in being equal or finding status with God. It should flow forth from your life because he's your Lord. You don't show up in heaven saying, "Hi, God, you remember me? I'm the good guy." Jesus says there's only one good, and that is God. Wow. Well, then how do we get to heaven then? By believing in Christ, and that belief that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, that you come to faith in him. It's faith in him. More on that as we continue on. But we are to be resting. In theological terms, Jesus has accomplished now when he cried out, "It's finished," all that was needed to complete man's redemption. Finished. So now we get to be saved. We get to be Christians. We get to live this life. We don't have to live this life. We don't have to go to church. We get to. Somebody said a couple weeks ago, "Do we have to build the new building?" And I said to them, "No, we get to build the new building." It's a big difference. Well, I guess I have to be good today. I'm a Christian. No, you know what? Don't think like that anymore. Stop thinking like that. You get up in the morning and you say, "Lord, I can't live this life without you today. I can't do it. Jesus, your word's so holy. You're so wonderful. Quite frankly, Lord, your demands and commands are too lofty for me. How can I attain to them? But Lord, I ask you now before my feet hit the floor, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live your life through me. And God, may I just be as close with you today as I possibly can be. Lord, keep me close. In Jesus' name, amen. Get up and live your life. He is faithful. He'll go with you all the way. He's so good that way. Stop doing it and let him do it through you. Relax. Rest in the Lord. The Bible says that we are to rest. We're to enter into that complete work of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Jot them down. We'll run through these. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things," that is who you used to be, "have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation, whereby God was in Christ," that is on the cross, by the way, "reconciling the world to himself, no longer attributing or counting their sins to them." What does that mean? Jesus went to the cross and doing so purchased a dialogue between lost mankind and the righteous eternal God. What's the shape of that bridge? What does it look like? It looks like a cross. And mankind now has a position with God through Jesus. No longer work-centered, no longer legalistic, but by faith in Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, 1 John 2, 2 says, "And he himself is the sacrifice for our sins." Really? Wow. "And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Did Jesus Christ die for Adolf Hitler? Yes. He did. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, did he die for Osama? Yes. He did. Osama, he died for Osama, Osama's mama, anybody else. He died for everybody. Jesus died on the cross for the whole world. Now that's powerful. There's people in this life, quite frankly, let's be honest, there's people in this life that drive us up the wall. You know who I'm talking about? Who's got that person that just kind of drives them up the wall? You know what I'm saying? The rest 990 of you are lying. We all have one. We all have somebody that drives us. Oh, here they come. Oh. I heard a sermon on this years ago. They're called, the pastor put it this way, they are our irregular person. Doesn't that sound nice? Have you noticed, though, these people that are our irregular person, God uses them to grow us up in Jesus? I mean, you got to admit, when they're around, you're saying, "God, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me." You know what I'm saying? Here's the funny thing. I guess it's not so funny if you think about it. I could be your irregular person. Whose irregular person is yours? What about them? What about you? Are you theirs? Ooh. You see, our opinion of ourselves is so wonderful. Truly, I'm not an irregular person. Well, we are to somebody. How do we love them? By the love of God. Our lives have been changed. How does that happen? God puts his love in our hearts for them. Otherwise, we would never, never love them, get to know them, care for them. God does that. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because he, with his great love, he loved us, even when we were dead in our own sins, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved." Grace is the free gift of God. Wow, free. I like free things. Colossians 1:19. "For it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in bodily form, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. For by him, whatever things are on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind toward God by wicked works, yet he has now reconciled you." Wow. All that happened because Jesus went to the cross? Yeah. And it's happening today still. Hebrews 10, verse 10. "For by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." How many times did Jesus have to go on the cross, anybody? Once. Isn't that awesome? If our salvation was works-centered, he would have to keep going back to the cross. He died once. And he paid the price forever. Just think. Jesus died, and we look back at his death. But the Bible teaches us that those who lived before Christ died looked ahead to his death. Isn't that something? So those like Noah and Daniel and those guys, they looked ahead to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and we look back. He's the focal center point of human existence, Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, "For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being sanctified by God." So I don't feel perfect. I know, I don't feel perfect either, but God says we're perfect. That is, he has removed our sin and guilt from us. Isn't that wild? Now, do we sin? We sin. But now that we're Christians, don't we hate it? Hey, if you're a non-Christian in here and a Christian's brought you here, let me confess for your Christian friend what maybe they don't confess to you. When they sin, they hate it. We don't want to sin anymore. Man, we did enough of that before we came to Jesus. Got us nothing but in trouble. And Lord, I want to live for you. Now, I don't want to blow it. But yet the Bible says if we blow it, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wonderful.
Jesus is often referred to in Scripture as the Lamb of God, not because he's meek and mild, but because he was the Lamb that was sacrificed for the sins of you and me, as we've learned from pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, as he guides us through John chapter 19 and verses 25 through 42. It's a study series simply called The Death of Jesus Christ, and if you pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, you'll be able to hear it once again at your convenience. You can also access archives of Real Radio and then become a podcast subscriber as well, all at no charge. So once again, log on to realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. If you've enjoyed and benefited from this broadcast and you'd like to contribute, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Once again, area code 909-393-7100. And of course, if you missed any of that contact information, you can find it all at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine. midst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.